Have you felt the world has lost its mind? That people don't have common sense anymore? Don't fear. This Common Sensocrat is here and you're not alone. You may agree, disagree, or just want to listen. If you're always up for a good time with some humor and some real talk, then you are in the right place. I'm going to update you all with the latest news in politics, culture, lifestyle, fashion, so much more. I am your host, Carrington Rowe, so gear up for the harshest truth, not the sweetest lie. Let's go. Welcome to a new Monday update, my Common Sensocrats. Hope you all had a wonderful weekend. This is the episode, for those that listen to the show, this is the episode that I give you the news that skipped your news feed from this weekend. And boy, do we have a lot to get into, so let's get started. This first topic I want to get into is about the Commonwealth of Australia. So they are sending police to knock on people's doors to make sure they have no visitors and deploying the army to patrol the streets. Now, this is just in Sydney, but that, I mean, that is where most of the people live anyway, because the rest of Australia is basically desert and little spurts here and there. Of course, you have Melbourne and all those places, which I'm sure Melbourne is having their issues, but Sydney is the hot topic right now. So I've been looking at the videos. I've been watching everything that's going on, especially in Australia and France. So France is having their own issues with the vaccine passport threat and all of that. And the French people are actually protesting against their government. They're protesting the vaccine passports and the lockdowns. And Australia has been doing the same thing. But here's the interesting thing. Okay, now let me just make this clear. I feel like I'm looking at the 20th century all over again. This dystopian message that they're putting out there is not good, especially for the residents of Sydney, Australia. Not good. So I just have to say this. I would literally rather be living in the upside down, like deep in the upside down and never come out. Like, I would just rather be there than seeing what's going on right now. It's so sad. I mean, this is literally out of Orwellian. This is an Orwellian nightmare. It really is. And don't worry, I'm going to get into more details here right now. So before I really tell you how bad things are there, now let me just point something out. I'm looking at this chart here. And there have been 923 people that have died total across the entire continent of Australia since the beginning of the pandemic. Let me repeat that again. 923 people have died total across the entire continent of Australia since the beginning of the pandemic. And like everywhere else, the vast majority have been in the 80 plus years metric. I'm saying the majority. I'm not saying everybody. I'm saying the majority have been. Okay. Now, I'm looking at this next graph. It's a bubble graph, but this is what they have posted here. So all of Australia, the population of all of Australia is 25.36 million people. Now for COVID-19. The cases count, okay, is 32,400. Those are the total cases out of the 25.36 million. All deaths total, 915. This was as of July. Of course, it's updated a little bit since then, but 915. And this was of July 2021. So as of today, it's 923, but that's it. So there were also no deaths reported on July 31st, by the way. Now, I don't know if they're actually hiding them or what, because I don't know what's going on. I don't really trust the numbers like fully, especially in America, but we can get to that at another time. But this is about Australia. So despite all of that, now, and the fact, by the way, that Australia is rolling out vaccines. Sydney police are going door to door to make sure no citizen is outside their own home. So the Sydney police chief here, he actually was at a press conference. He was talking about the situation. And here is an interesting, ironic message that he has for the citizens of Sydney.
Extra power for work signs, but we keep getting told households, the big problem, are you going to be going suburb to suburb, street to street, door to door, knocking on these and actively looking for people who are in the wrong house and finding them on the spot?
Yeah, look, absolutely. Overnight, we conducted hundreds of checks, particularly of those who were close contacts or who have the virus. Thankfully, everyone was home as they were supposed to be on health advice. We'll continue to do that. We know home-to-home transmission is a huge issue for us. We know that people are bringing it home from work sites that aren't complying with health orders. So if you think about the powers that I've asked for, it will take it to those businesses that are breaching the health orders, and it will take it back to the homes that are continuing to breach the health orders that are putting us into an extended lockdown.
Now, did you hear that? For those that weren't really listening carefully, he literally said, this is how it's ironic, he literally said to the reporter, he said, home-to-home transmission is a real problem. But yet they're enforcing home lockdowns with no visitors. Like, but you just said that home-to-home transmission is a problem. Now, granted, they're being very limited on what you can do. It would have to be, you know, it would have to be health reasons you leave your home, emergencies. I mean, very limited access that you can leave your home. But still, he just said home-to-home transmission is a big problem. But yet, let's lock you in your homes where it's a big problem. That, whatever. Not only that, but the army will be patrolling the streets to ensure no one breaks lockdown. I mean, God, the American politicians we have right now, they must be salivating at this thought. Like, what if Americans had this? Man, it's too bad we have freedom in the United States. Oh, wait. Delta variant, anyone? Threat of lockdowns, anyone? Mask mandates reemerging, anyone? Wake up now. Otherwise, if you're not awake by now, then you're in way bigger denial than I thought. So start looking around because watch the threats come at us like never before. This next topic is about the disaster that is New York. So Goldman Sachs planning campus in Dallas as bankers seek exodus from New York. This is from the Daily Wire. So as Wall Street bankers grow increasingly disdainful of New York City, which is, that's an understatement, Goldman Sachs is reportedly planning a massive new campus in Dallas. Goldman Sachs, which boasts a market capitalization of nearly $130 billion and hires 40,000 people, is one of the largest businesses based in New York. The report emerges as banking executives seek transitions out of New York City, citing rising crime statistics, higher costs of living, and other quality of life issues. So Bloomberg News discovered, this is what they said here, says executives are in advanced talks with developers as the firm scouts for expanded space in North Texas, a region known for steakhouses, luxury retail, and low taxes. The move could boost Goldman's presence there to rival an older outpost in Jersey City, where the bank's tower looms over much of the local skyline and even supplant it in time, according to people with knowledge of the situation. And then Fox Business adds, Goldman already has a presence in the Dallas area, with more than 1,000 employees working out of downtown Dallas's Trammell Crow Center and another 600 workers at its Richardson Consumer Banking office, with plans to add hundreds more. If the purported new campus comes into fruition, Dallas could replace Salt Lake City as the firm's largest hub outside the New York area. So the Goldman Sachs spokesperson Maeve Duvally told Bloomberg that, quote, we continue to grow our presence in the Dallas area, but cannot comment at this time on our future expansion plans. So at the end, end quote, So at the end of last year, the investment bank considered moving its asset management business to Miami. Indeed, news of Goldman Sachs' move comes weeks after a deluge of bankers requested moves out of New York. You love to see it. And then Fox Business reported, it says, job headhunters say banks such as JP Morgan and Goldman Sachs have what is being described as a waiting list of executives looking to move to the Sunshine State, primarily because of its lower cost of living, but also because of other quality of life issues, including a lower crime rate. Manhattan, where both firms are located, is dealing with a spike in crime and homelessness under Mayor Bill de Blasio, or Bozo, crime statistics have risen in most categories, with the New York Police Department reporting a 39.6% rise in grand larceny thefts last week for the 4 weeks ending June 6th. And then Florida ranks sixth in the nation for economic recovery after COVID-19 and the lockdown-induced recession. New York definitely ranks last. The former state is operating at operating at 101% pre-recession capacity. The latter is operating at 82%. New York's violent crime wave continues after it rerouted $1 billion away from the New York City Police Department in response to George Floyd's death. So, and then this next one here, to continue this whole catastrophe that's happening in New York. New York Governor Cuomo begs businesses and citizens to return to New York City. I mean, you love and hate to see it at the same time, because it's really devastating what's going on in New York City, because as we all know, for those of you that listen to the show, I loved being there. I loved being around the arts and everybody, the businesses, the restaurants, the life, it was the life, and it's devastating what's happening there right now. But Cuomo begs businesses to return to New York City after devastating shutdown. So New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is calling for companies to end remote work and bring staff back to the office by Labor Day in order to support local businesses, or New York City will suffer. So that was from Fox News on July 30th. And then it says, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is begging New York City businesses to bring quote unquote everyone back in the office, or else he warns there will be a quote unquote devastating impact on the commercial market. And this is what he said, quote, remember, we have to get people back, and we have to get people back in volume. If you were to see a 15% decline of people coming back to New York City, that would have a devastating impact on the commercial market. And that is what, end quote, and that's from Andrew Cuomo himself. Now, the reality is that New York City has suffered immensely from the strict lockdown measures ordered by Cuomo and de Blasio, or dumb Blasio, I always say. This is so ironic, because he said these comments of returning to in-person life over a virtual meeting with the Association for a Better New York. Isn't that interesting? He says, we got to get people back in the office, yet he's having a virtual meeting with them. Anyway, God, the hypocrisy all around. It's sad. Even the little things. I know that's very little, but it's just the little things, folks. That pretty much sums up New York's plan to return to normalcy. A lot of talk and not much action, okay? Like, does he... The sad part is with de Blasio and Cuomo, I don't even think they realize that they're the true cause of this. I don't think they do. They have such big egos. They think they're the best, yet they're noticing the numbers and they're going, why? What's wrong? I don't think they recognize the policies. Their policies contributed to this problem at all. Now, does he plan to rescind all those policies? I don't think so. This is interesting. It continues here. Quote, we need people coming back. Say to your workforce, by Labor Day, everyone is back in the office. We need that volume to support the restaurants and the shops, the services. Cuomo, what restaurants and shops? Because of your policies, they're pretty much all shut down for the most part, and boarded up. It's depressing. Anyway, he continues. It's not just about your business. It's about all the spin-off affected economic activity that your workers bring to the surrounding community. Where are we? What year are we in? He wants to talk about the quote-unquote spin-off effect economic activity. Now he does? Okay, this has been, listen to this. This was 8 months ago when indoor dining was shut down by Cuomo. The New York City Hospitality Alliance said it would, quote, severely jeopardize the survival of countless small businesses and jobs. He says, quote, this is from January 11th. Quote, we simply cannot stay closed until the vaccine hits critical mass. We must reopen the economy, but we must do it smartly and safely. Remember that? Who was getting inaugurated? Who was? Oh, right. Trump was getting out of office. So, of course, he wanted to open. Remember, everybody, that was from January 11th. And we're in August. We're almost at 8 months. It's not even quite 8 months, but still. That's a long time, okay? Cuomo's response in January is the same thing he is doing right now. He's stating the obvious about the economic impact that this will have on New York City's economy. However, he is unwilling to pull back the very policies that threw New York City into this chaos and mess in the first place. Why do you think I fled, Cuomo? Why do you think I fled from New York City? Now, unfortunately, Cuomo's so desperate now, and it shows. But his plea for people to return to New York City is very, 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 very long overdue. And judging from the number of people that have left New York City, myself included, it's looking like it's too late for you, buddy. It's looking a little too late. But, and here we go. Remember the banks, they're leaving too. They're planning on getting out of here. They're out of New York. They are out. Bye-bye. New York City is probably going to look like no more if things don't happen. Tomorrow. If things don't happen tomorrow, then I think New York City is pretty much done. Two mayors made it into the news this weekend. So the first one is Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser about the mask mandate situation. So what happened was she delayed the new mask mandate until, well, this past Saturday. But now we understand why. So last week, D.C. Muriel Bowser announced that everyone would have to wear a face mask indoors regardless of vaccination status. Bowser cited a rise in COVID-19 cases and the Delta variant as the reason behind the new mandate. But you know what's really odd? This was really odd, but the new mandate didn't go into effect immediately. I mean, you would think because the Delta variant, if it's so dangerous, I mean, why wait, you know? The new mandate was announced Thursday, but wouldn't go into effect until Saturday. But why wait 2 days for something, you know, so deadly and so important? Of course, the answer was revealed on Friday. So on Friday, the mayor's office released a statement that comedian Dave Chappelle would be performing in the district this weekend with its first performance Friday night at the Anthem. Chappelle was headlining the first live public event at the venue since March 2020 and has been branded as the official reopening of the Anthem. Now, coincidentally, there's a picture of Bowser attending the Friday night performance the night before the mask mandate went into effect. Masks were required at the Anthem, by the way, but the district's mandate was not in effect, allowing Bowser and Deputy Mayor for Planning and Economic Development, John Falcicchio, I think that's how you say his name, to meet with Chappelle and pose for a photo without wearing masks. This is on John's Facebook page. And yep, all of them not wearing masks, including Dave Chappelle. None of them are wearing masks, yet the mask mandate was in effect the next day. He tweeted the photo Friday night just a day earlier, and he says, quote, we're all in this together and we'll get through this together. Hashtag mask up, DC. Yet the photo there were no masks in the photo. Anyway, so effective Saturday, July 31st at 5 a.m., all people, so the quote in the tweet, effective Saturday, July 31st at 5 a.m., All people all over the age of 2 must wear a mask indoors, regardless of vaccination status, end quote. So it's kind of funny. Do you hear that again? Effective Saturday, July 31st at 5 a.m. Why not till 5 a.m.? Why not starting at midnight? Is it because you all had a late night at Dave Chappelle's show? Y'all didn't get in till like 4 a.m.? So it's like, well, we got to start at 5 now. Yeah, rules for thee, but not for me, right? Well, the other mayor that got into the headlines was Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot. She also delayed new COVID-19 restrictions as Lollapalooza begins. So, I'm sorry, I cannot but laugh because this is so, it's like, can you be any more obvious? So the massive music festival was expected to draw more than 100,000 attendees over the course of the weekend. And the requirements for attendees have, of course, they changed since the festival began on Thursday. So starting this past Saturday, participants are required to wear masks indoors, regardless of whether they have been vaccinated. For the first 2 days of the festival, this was not the case. So a surge of COVID-19 cases resulted in Governor J.B. Pritzker, who's a Democrat, the governor of Illinois, Democrat, reimposing a mask mandate for everyone working in or entering state facilities, regardless of whether they've been vaccinated or not. Lightfoot, however, has delayed implementing a broader mandate for the city while Lollapalooza takes place. So the WTTW reported, Lightfoot on Thursday declined to renew her promise, made Monday in an interview with the New York Times, to reimpose a mask mandate on Chicagoans, regardless of their vaccination status, once the city passes the 200 cases per day benchmark set by local health officials. That would mean the city would meet the standard set by the CDC to deem an area where there is substantial transmission of the coronavirus. Hospitalizations in Chicago are at the highest level since mid-June, according to city data. However, Lightfoot said the data gives city officials, quote, some reason for optimism, end quotes, because there are fewer seriously ill Chicagoans than in previous months. And then Lightfoot herself attended Lollapalooza on Thursday by introducing the Black Pumas on stage and thanking attendees for coming to Chicago. Quote, Lollapalooza is the largest music festival in the world that is happening in 2021. It is a big deal, that Lightfoot said to out loud to the audience. It was previously reported that Lightfoot, Pritzker, and Chicago Alderman Tom Tunney all violated previous restrictions they imposed on others. So it says, Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot also featured prominently in the 2020 annals of coronavirus duplicity. Shortly before Thanksgiving, Lightfoot imposed a 10-person cap on gatherings such as weddings, funerals, and other events, according to the Chicago Tribune. She even went so far as to urge families to, quote, cancel traditional Thanksgiving plans, end quote. So, and pretty much everybody else did the same thing. So, we all know about the hypocrisy of all the mayors through this whole pandemic, and it's just sickening to see more of their hypocrisy. And they don't even care. They're just exposing it. Like they don't even care anymore. They're just like, yep, we're idiots. Yep, we're frauds. Yep, we're hypocrites. Take us or leave us. It's literally what they're saying. So yeah, so we had Mayor Lori Lightfoot go to Lollapalooza. And then we had Muriel Bowser attend a Dave Chappelle event. So it's like, oh, but then we can impose the mask mandates, but all on Saturday. But we can have fun, but you can't. We can have fun without our masks on, but not you. So again, rules for thee, but not for me. This next topic is about the Democrat-run cities lagging in job recovery in the nation. So this is quite interesting. So a new report reveals that large Democrat-run cities are lagging the nation, especially in the labor market recovery. So personal finance company WalletHub combined three statistics: change in unemployment in June 2021 versus June 2019, June 2021 versus January 2020, and June 2021 versus June 2020. to evaluate the cities with the fastest rebounds from high unemployment rates caused by COVID-19 and the lockdown-induced recession. So WalletHub explains here, the national unemployment rate is currently at 5.9%, which is 60% lower than the peak of 14.8% during the height of the pandemic. The country has been able to make a lot of progress thanks to the distribution of the vaccine, but it will likely take a long time for the unemployment rate to return to the historic low it experienced prior to the coronavirus crisis. Some cities' jobs have weathered the storm better than others, though. So the 10 worst cities for labor market recovery include the three largest metropolitan areas in the United States: New York City, Los Angeles, and Chicago. Not surprised, since they're all led by the Democratic mayors, Bill de Blasio, Eric Garcetti, and Lori Lightfoot. So it's like, well, no shit, they're the worst. So these are the 10 cities that are in states currently led by Democrats. Okay, let me just making a little bit of a point here. So we got New Orleans, Louisiana, Hialeah, California, Newark, New Jersey, North Las Vegas, Nevada, Chicago, Illinois, Bridgeport, Connecticut, Glendale, California, Long Beach, California, New York, New York, and Los Angeles, California. So currently, New York City's unemployment rate is 10.1%. Los Angeles and Chicago have unemployment rates of 10.5% and 10.7%, respectively. So the 10 best cities, all of which are located in Republican-led states, are as follows: Lincoln, Nebraska, Omaha, Nebraska, Huntsville, Alabama, Manchester, New Hampshire, Nashua, New Hampshire, Salt Lake City, Utah, Boise, Idaho, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Nampa, Idaho, and Rapid City, South Dakota. So New York City, Los Angeles, and Chicago are under the Democratic state and local leaders that have been quick to rely on lockdown policies and other COVID-19 related restrictions. So it's just, it's bad. And actually, this was interesting too. It says here, for several years, states with low tax rates and minimal regulations have drawn companies and jobs away from left-leaning areas. Most recently, Disney announced plans to move 2,000 jobs from Los Angeles to Florida due to the state's quote-unquote business-friendly climate. Hello. They're all, everybody from blue states are fleeing to red states. If that's not proof enough from this article for you, then I really can't help you. So that's just the point. You know, it's like Democrat-run cities are doing very badly. Republican-run cities and states are doing very well. End of story. That's a fact. And, you know, it is what it is, folks. You try these lockdown strategies, that's another proof that lockdowns don't work. Thank you. Hey, Common Sensocrats. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I'm on Spotify, Google, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. I am also updating videos for my YouTube and Rumble channel, but definitely subscribe to those anyway. So hit that button that looks like a bell so you can immediately get notified when those videos are released. Like and follow on all of the social medias, Facebook, Twitter, and Getter, Instagram, TikTok, Telegram, and of course, follow me on commonsensocrats.locals.com. If you have any suggestions on topics that you want me to cover and or have any questions, don't hesitate to email common.sensocrat@gmail.com. And now, back to the show. This next topic is about Representative Nacy Mace, who's the Republican of South Carolina, versus Sinfonia Thompson, who's a Democrat from Texas. Whew, this was interesting. Now, Representative Nancy Mace, I like her, but she's kind of boring. I hate to say that, but really she does her job, so I can't really knock her for that. But so basically what happened was at the Oversight Committee hearing this past week, so I know this wasn't from this weekend, but I have to talk about this because this was actually pretty baller of Nancy Mace. So she confronted the who Sophronia Thompson, Representative Sophronia Thompson, who was one of the Texas Democrats who fled the state to prevent the state's legislature from doing its job, basically, about the voting bill. So this was rapid fire. So she was basically talking about how you need government IDs to, to get through society. So you kind of need them to live in society. And so she basically just ripped her, and this was actually pretty great, I have to say.
Coming from South Carolina, we've got voter ID, and I'm assuming Texas is the same way. Do y'all need IDs to buy alcohol when you're purchasing at the store?
Yes, to be sure that you are capable of doing that.
Right. Do you need an ID in Texas to buy cigarettes?
You can't buy them unless you're at least 21.
But do you have to show an ID to buy
You do have to show an
cigarettes?
ID.
Do you need an ID when you're getting a job and trying to get on payroll in Texas?
Yes.
Do you need an ID to go to the pharmacy and get a prescription in Texas?
It depends on this prescription.
But do you need an ID for some prescriptions in
Yes, you do.
Texas?
Yes.
Do you need an ID to get Social Security services in Texas?
You do.
Do you need an ID to rent an apartment in Texas?
Yes.
Do you need an ID if you're going to buy a house and finance it via a mortgage in Texas?
Yes.
Do you need an ID in Texas if you're going to board an aircraft and fly commercial?
Yes.
Did you fly commercial or fly a private jet on the way to DC?
A chartered plane.
Do you have to show an ID when you fly in a private charter jet?
Yes.
I wouldn't know. I've never flown on one. So did you need an ID to get in the building here today?
Yes.
Do you need an ID in Texas to open a bank account? To
Yes.
ca yeah, to cash your check if you're working. Do you know, Representative Thompson, what percentage of blacks in Texas, black and brown African Americans, are registered to vote?
Oh, a huge percentage.
70%. Do you know
Yes.
what percentage of African Americans, black and brown Texans, have voted on average or in the last election?
By 64%.
Correct. Do you know how many whites are registered to vote in Texas?
Far more than African Americans.
72%. You have 70% of blacks in Texas who are registered to vote. You have 72% of whites in Texas who are registered to vote. Do you know the percentage of whites who turned out to vote in recent elections?
I want to say over 50-some percent.
65%. Do you know what percentage of Hispanics are registered to vote in Texas?
No, I do not.
63%. Do you know what percentage of Hispanics voted in the last election?
I think it was over 40%.
53%. Hispanics are not voting in as high a numbers as blacks and whites in Texas. Do you know the percentage of Democrats that support voter ID?
Would you repeat your
Do you
question?
know the number or percentage of Democrats who support voter ID in this country?
I do not, but I don't think it's a whole lot.
72%. Do you know the number of black and brown and African Americans in this country who support voter ID?
No.
75%. Do you know the number of Hispanics that support voter ID in this country?
No.
81%. Do you know where the state of Texas is ranked with black voter turnout in this country?
Would black voters turn out?
Do you know where Texas is ranked?
Oh, 40 by 44%.
The latest numbers that I read this morning was that Texas is ranked 10th. Do you know where Texas is ranked? So then top 10 in the country. Do you know where Texas is ranked with women voters?
Oh, way up in the 50s.
In the bottom third of this country. So I would argue that Texas has a more difficult problem with getting women out to vote than black and brown and African Americans. Thank you, and I yield back.
Yeah, I had to play all of that for you. That's very important. So, yes, her first point is you need an ID for everything, basically, to get through life, essentially, to get approved for things. So, what Texas Democrats wanted to do with their voting bill is to not have voter ID. So, why are we able to have voter ID or have ID to, buy cigarettes, buy alcohol, get a mortgage, all this stuff. But yet we can't have voter ID, which is like our most sacred, literally, that's probably our, actually, that is our most sacred thing we have in this country, to vote. And everyone can. Everyone. And the fact that she said that women have a lower turnout than blacks, Hispanics, and whites, like all of it. Yeah, she makes a very good point. Women have a harder time coming out to vote. Women. She didn't say what color. It's just women in general. Women. That really devastated me to hear that when I watched this clip for the first time, because I went, whoa, 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 whoa. Then that brings on a whole other issue. Yes, the voter ID thing, like why they're trying to not have that, because they want to cheat. That's why. But also women? Then why the hell do we have the 19th Amendment? I actually thought that to myself. I was like, then why the hell did we fight so hard to get the right to vote? If women in Texas especially are the lowest. That was devastating. So keep that in mind, everybody. Keep an eye on your state. Because if women in your state have a low turnout, then that's a problem. That's a huge problem. Forget the color of your skin. Women. I mean, that's crazy. And that's all colors, by the way. She didn't specify which color. Literally. Women. In general. So that's a pretty tough thing to chew on, I have to say. So, yeah, definitely keep that in mind, because that really devastated me when I heard that for the first time. Part of the Monday update that I'm going to add here is called the Education Update. So I'm going to give you my top 10 stories of the week that I find all through the week. So this first one that I'm going to deliver to you all is the professor who called on University of Penn to revoke Trump's degree is running for U.S. Senate. Now, this is reported from the Daily Wire. So, University of Pennsylvania professor Eric Ortz, who once called on the school to revoke former President Donald Trump's undergraduate degree, is running for the U.S. Senate. Ortz was among the six professors who asked the university's administration to investigate unsubstantiated claims that Trump, a Wharton graduate, cheated on his exam. God, will they stop going after this guy? Like, God, they're so obsessed with him. It's disgusting. Next topic. Democratic representative claims critical race theory not taught in elementary schools. This is from The Federalist. During an interview with Axios, South Carolina Democratic Representative James Clyburn denied that critical race theory is being taught in elementary school. Clyburn said that his opponents use critical race theory as a quote-unquote red herring and claimed that the ideology is taught exclusively at the university level. Yeah, I call bullshit on that because I go to the critical race theory meetings for literally the past 3 months, and yeah, it is Clyburn, so you're lying. Anyway, next topic. Nation's largest four-year public university system mandates COVID-19 vaccines for students and faculty, also from the Daily Wire. Says California State University, the nation's largest four-year public university system, announced that it would require all faculty, staff, and students accessing facilities at any of its campuses to be immunized against COVID-19 for the fall term. Administrators cited, quote-unquote, evolving circumstances for, quote, announcing the pending requirement now without waiting for any further action by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, end quote. Oh my God, the vaccine force has got to stop. Next topic. Arizona State University hires CRT scholar for its music, dance, and theater school. This is from the College Fix. Arizona State University hired a new faculty member in its School of Music, Dance, and Theater whose music research focuses on race and racism. Assistant professor of music learning and teaching Joyce McCall studies, quote-unquote, double consciousness theory and culturally relevant pedagogy as well. West Virginia University librarian saying lesbians are going extinct is the latest form of transphobia, also from the College Fix. West Virginia humanities librarian Lynn Stahl accused people of being quote-unquote transphobic if they questioned why the number of lesbians has stagnated while transgenderism has risen. Her article comes after a Gallup poll revealed that more Americans identified as LGBTQ between 2017 and 2021 though the number of people who identify as lesbian remained almost the same. Biden's Education Department Office for Civil Rights nominee refuses to condemn racial discrimination. This is from the American Enterprise Institute. President Joe Biden's Education Department Office for Civil Rights nominee refused to condemn racial discrimination during her nomination hearings. The head of the Education Department's Office for Civil Rights is in charge of deciding whether to investigate parent and student complaints, including ones about critical race theory. GOP leaders introduced legislation to mandate the Office for Civil Rights investigate all claims related to critical race theory. Virginia teacher placed on administrative leave after questioning the district's equity training program. This is from the Daily Wire. Virginia teacher Shelley Norden was placed on administration leave after questioning the school's district equity training program. Norden used her social media accounts to discuss the problematic nature of quote-unquote deep equity training, which landed her in trouble with the school's equity lead and other top administrators. University of Illinois, Chicago professor reported to school for urging students to turn assignment in on time, the college fix. A professor at the University of Illinois, Chicago created a GroupMe chat with students to allow them to ask questions about an upcoming assignment. One student asked if they could pick a different topic the night before the assignment was due. In response, the professor reminded the student that the assignment was due the next day. The student reported the professor for being inconsiderate of student anxiety. Okay. It's due the next day, kid. Don't know what to tell you. You waited till the last minute to ask to change it. So, sorry, not sorry to that professor. Like, good for you, man. Like, good for you. Or woman. I don't know. It doesn't say which sex. But anyway, moving on. University of California medical professor apologizes for saying pregnant women, the Daily Wire. A professor of medicine within the University of California system apologized to his students for saying the word pregnant women instead of pregnant people in a medical classroom. The professor sent the apology via email and said that it was inappropriate to imply that only women can give birth. Oh, wow. I think if I get injured, I'm just going to take care of the surgery myself. I think I'll just watch a YouTube video and do the surgery myself. I don't trust any hospitals anymore. Anyway, moving on to the final headline. Minnesota students told to hide equity survey questions from parents. This is from the New York Post. A Minnesota student claimed that she was told to keep the content of an equity survey from their parents, including questions about gender identity. Quote, "My teacher said that I could not skip any questions even when I didn't understand them. One question asked us what gender we identify with," the young student said. Yeah. This is what's happening in our education system. This all needs to stop. When's the madness going to end? I just need it to end. But those are your education updates from our education system that is happening in this country. So stay tuned for next week's updates, because I'm sure there will be more craziness to come. Welcome to the good news section of Monday Update. So this is the section where I will be talking about the good news that comes about in this world that we just all need. And it's a good start to the week. So this first story, I'm only going to do two today, but this first story is about students who adapt wheelchairs so the dad who had surgery can take baby on walks. This is the cutest story and the sweetest story, one of the sweetest stories I've read this week. So when little Phoenix King came into the world a few months ago, his parents, Jeremy and Chelsea, knew some challenges were on the horizon. So I'm going to be playing this video for you, and it's just amazing.
We take you now to Potomac, Maryland. That's just outside D.C. Some students there designed a life-changing invention, and CBS's Chip Reed has the story.
When Phoenix King was born 4 months ago, his parents, Jeremy and Chelsea, faced a difficult road ahead.
My husband Jeremy had brain surgery just over 3 years ago to remove a brain tumor, which left him with some physical challenges, some physical disabilities.
One big question, how could he safely take Phoenix for a walk? Chelsea, a teacher at Bullis, a private school in Maryland, contacted the head of the school's technology lab. He presented the challenge to his students, including Jacob Zlatnitsky and Ibenka Espinoza, who both hope to study astrophysics in college. What was the best part about coming up with this design and seeing that it worked?
Just seeing the smiles on their faces.
And the relief that, oof, it worked.
The Wiestroll, as they call it, won 2 international design awards.
Pull it nice and taut.
This is really secure.
Yes, and they actually, I think they dumped a bunch of cinder blocks in it and actually, you know, weight tested it at the school a couple times, which I think the kids were really into.
For Jeremy, it's a godsend.
I never thought I'd be able to do something like this safely. I feel wonderful. I feel ecstatic.
Ecstatic over the simple pleasure of taking a stroll with his family. Chip Reed, CBS News, Potomac, Maryland.
Aww. That's so sweet. It's cool because it's literally at eye level. So for those that haven't seen the pictures of this, it's so cool. Literally, it's the same level as the wheelchair. So if you go on, if you go online on the Facebook page, they have a Facebook page of, what is the thing called? Oh, of 1079 Life. That is the Facebook page. They have the pictures all over the place about this story. And this is from July 27th. So you'll have to scroll down a bit. But it's really worth it. You've got to check out this wheelchair. I mean, the students did a really, really amazing job. And this final good news that I'm going to read for you this week is girl who lost dad to suicide raises over $3,000 for suicide prevention. This is actually a really cool story. So keychains are making a difference thanks to a little girl in Urbandale, Iowa, who crafts them to help prevent tragedy. So this is a really, really moving story. I'm going to play this clip for you, and it's from the news, the local news there in Urbandale. And it was what a great thought. So this is a really beautiful thing she's doing.
New this morning, keychains are creating change for an Urbandale girl. Tommy's here with how she's using them to prevent tragedy.
She is. This little girl is amazing. So 9-year-old Kaveri's keychains are raising money to help prevent suicide. We met her family when Kaveri started crafting 5 months ago after losing her dad to suicide. Now she's ready to donate what she's raised from her keychain sales. More than $3,800 will go to National Suicide Prevention. Her mom says it wasn't an easy feat mailing her handiwork to 14 different states. But she worked hard and never gave up on her goal to make a difference.
Work as hard as you can, and in the end, it'll turn out really good, maybe even better than you expected.
I'm really proud of how hard she worked. It was a lot of time and a lot of effort, and she did amazing.
Absolutely. If you want to give to suicide prevention, just go to suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
Yeah. I mean, how amazing is that? And if you heard my stomach growling, I'm sorry. This chick must be hungry. But anyway, but this story is really inspiring. So good job, Kaveri. I would be surprised if I saw her even years down the road to be a spokesperson for suicide prevention because of this amazing thing she's doing for suicide prevention. So keep it up, Kaveri. We're all keeping an eye on you. And definitely donate to the site. That wraps up my show today, my common sensocrats. As always, I end with a saying or a quote. The sky is not the limit. Your mind is. Marilyn Monroe. Thank you so much for listening. Look out for my post tomorrow where I talk with Blair Gottschall, the host of the podcast, The Cancel Curtain. We get into quite a lot, so you're not going to want to miss that one. Until next time, bye. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you liked what you heard, don't forget to subscribe and rate 5 stars in the Apple Podcasts. I need to spread the word as much as possible about this podcast, and you all are such a big help for that. So thank you so much, and I look forward to you all to listen to the next episode.